Okay, let's see. Let me go over the agenda real fast. So we'll start out with introductions, reintroductions, check in with current action items, and today we'll have most of the time for the DID spec. Let me just make sure, Manu, it looks like we still have a lot of missing unidentified callers. Am I right?
Yes.
Oh.
You want me to keep? I'll associate if you want to do some other stuff. Is that what you're asking?
Oh no, I was
Yeah.
checking actually because I thought, yeah, 323 was Heather, right? Yeah, I got it. Okay.
Just a couple of scheduling notes. We will be having a credentials meeting next week with continue with a focus on what is it that we can do to make the Rebooting Web of Trust face-to-face more productive. But that also means that on the 3rd of August we will not be having a credentials meeting because we will be in the middle of rebooting.
Okay, let's
I
get
think you
started.
meant, Christopher said 3rd of August. I think you meant 3rd of October. Sorry, 3rd of October, yes.
All right, okay.
Okay, let's start with introductions and reintroductions. Heather, can I put you on the spot?
Yeah, I can't really scribe. I don't recognize enough of the people's names, and I'm really slow typist.
Okay, let's.
I'm happy to, this is Heather. I'm happy to jump on scribing. Do you have a shared Google Docs? Or how are you doing that?
Let's see, we have. Oh, go ahead.
Hey Heather, this is Manu. The way that you scribe, thank you so much for jumping into the breach. The way we scribe is if you have your chat window up, you just put the person's name, and then colon, and then what they said, and that's it. You just do that for the
Oh,
entire call. So just type
super
in
easy.
whatever you're hearing. Yep, in the chat window.
Awesome. Okay, cool.
There's
Well, I'll go
also
ahead
a
and
trick
introduce
where you can
myself.
do dot 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 if it's the same person speaking.
Okay. Yeah, if anyone has any other scribe tips, if you want to drop them in the chat, I do type pretty quickly. Okay, I'll go ahead and do the. Sorry.
Nothing. I was going to say, folks can also help Heather out or whoever the scribe is by the first time you talk, especially just name your, state your handle.
Perfect. All right, so since I got put on the spot, I'm Heather Vessens. I've been lurking on the verifiable claims, Interledger, a couple other W3C lists for a while. I've been super busy. I'm just starting to come up from air. And just thought I'd like pop back in and see what's going on. Kind of missed you guys. What do I do? I am a futurist researcher. I have a book on cybersecurity coming out next month, and I study digital identity. Security, money, transactions, a lot of that kind of stuff. I've been lurking for a while. I've been seeing your emails.
Welcome, Heather.
Welcome. Thank you for joining us. So, to your question about any tips for scribing, I just pasted in this IRC ref link, which should help a little bit. And you definitely get bonus points for offering to scribe and being introduced. So thank you for doing that. Let's see, we made it through introductions. Let's go through the current action items. So we have a standing action item to do a quick check-in with current work items. Does anyone have anything they want to talk to specifically? Oh, yes,
Just one
Jessica.
question. I have a question about the ActivityPub stuff. I saw that kind of coming through this group, and I was curious, like, how much you guys discussed it in these calls, and then if I could, spend a minute or two on it just to ask some questions.
I'm sorry, I didn't. Can you repeat that?
Just ask a couple minutes on the Activity Pub stuff, if that is something that is going through this group. I thought I noticed that it was related to this group, so I wanted to see if I could ask a couple questions about it.
I do know, I believe that the person who submitted that as a proposal for rebooting had said they were not able to attend today's call. So I think, you know, I mean, we're supporting their efforts in the credential side of things and whatever, and they're making a presentation, but they have their own community group meeting, and they're trying to figure out how to incorporate verifiable claims and some of the DID stuff that we have there in their proposals. But he has been active in this group. But again, the discussions wise, it's more of a coordination role.
Okay, that's fine. Then we don't need to spend any time on it.
Actually, yeah, I jumped on the queue. So, Chris Weber works on the ActivityPub stuff. He's the spec editor and does implementation. We are looking at doing some close coordination with ActivityPub and the work that's being done in this group. So Chris Weber is really the best person to bring it up. Are you, I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name. Are you coming to Rebooting Web of Trust?
Yeah, oh, man, it's Daniel.
Daniel, sorry, man. Chris, yeah, we talk about ActivityPub a decent bit. In and out of the group, around like verifiable claims and how you can use it to do like signed communication between multiple inboxes, social inboxes.
Okay. Yeah. The root of my, I wouldn't say concern, but the root of my my questioning would have been around, you know, I looked at ActivityPub and I read the spec over, and it seems, you know, when I worked in Social API at Mozilla and some of those other things, kind of another attempt at a less generalized form of data transmission based on a subset or a vertical, and that's kind of what we're trying to repair with identity hubs, in the sense that they don't constrain, they're a more generic substrate than saying, hey, you know, we need an activity pub for social, and we need this thing for legal, and we need this thing, you know what I mean? So that's, I'll ask Chris those questions. I will be at Rebooting Web of Trust, so maybe I can meet him there.
Awesome.
Ryan, you're next on the queue.
So I'm not clear on today's agenda. Do we have an agenda item to talk about Digital Bazaar's proposals?
Oh, yes. That's pretty much all we're talking about.
Okay, sorry. If there was a link, I missed it.
Plus, we have... guest today from some of the other people who propose DIDs, so we're going to be covering DIDs all day.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on from the current action items. The next one, or actually we're moving through the list, the next one is finish propagating the new name and mission statement. No responses to that, despite being sent to all the aliases. I'll follow up with Manu to see what is next. I have an action item assigned to Manu for following up with Dan from EOS. Can we close that?
Yeah, it's still in process. He's traveling quite a bit these days. But okay. I did follow up, so I don't know if you want to mark that off or not. He will eventually engage with the group.
Excellent. I'll mark that done. For a TPAC meeting, that is me and Christopher, and we need to follow up on that this week. We talked about it roughly. We have a rough idea of the deadline, and we're also in touch with the Verifiable Claims Working Group over it, which is the primary group we need to coordinate with. Okay, so for DID, we have quite a few people, representatives from Newport. I think we have Daniel Buechner. And so we have a good amount of people to talk through some of the broader impact changes that we're discussing to the DID spec. I'm going to let Manu drive most of this. Manu, I'll start by including the links to your pull request in the preview in case people want to refer to that.
Okay, sounds good. Let me give a real quick update to both Daniel and Christian, because there's been quite a bit of discussion around the DID specification. I'm going to drop a link in the IRC right now. We've triaged a number of issues around the DID spec, primarily around the way that you kind of authenticate yourself. So there's a discussion around, you know, whether or not we do we just talk about signatures, like digital signatures, or whether or not we talk about other types of proofs like pseudonymous biometric proofs. So there's a discussion that's currently happening around that. There's a discussion around the security model for DID documents. So, you know, right now we have something that feels kind of like an access control list, and we are proposing that we maybe move to a more capabilities-based security model to tie up some, like, ambient authority and confused deputy attacks that we're concerned about. We have a discussion going on around how we express authentication credentials like public-private key pairs, biometrics, and then how you limit people on updating certain portions of the DDO, or sorry, the DID document. So, you know, we triage this list of issues, and we, you know, kicked off the discussion a couple of weeks ago. Based on that discussion, I've updated the DID specification, you know, after talking with Drummond and Kim and Christopher and you know, Ryan and Dave Longley, tried to get an idea about, you know, what the best way to move forward on this move forward on all of these issues would be, because they're some of them are tied to other ones. So I'm going to put another link in the IRC. And this is the link that went out this past Sunday. Here's a proposed update to the DID specification. And the really important bit is probably down towards the bottom. It's example 8. Let me get a link to that as well, in Appendix B. And so this is the proposed new thing. I want to be very clear that this proposal doesn't change what the DDO the DID document is capable of doing. So it supports all of the use cases that all of us have been talking about for the last couple of years. Right. So we're not having to trade anything off. We support everything that we supported before. But the proposal makes the kind of security attack surface smaller, and it addresses the use cases with more simplified concepts, more, you know, highly specific, simplified concepts. So at a high level, like, that's where this set of changes is coming from. A number of us are implementing and deploying ledgers with these DIDs and DID documents in there. We're having to list services that the person has, like credential repositories or social web messaging servers or object storage, you know, things in the DID document. So what we're trying here, like, you know, we're learning from the implementation experience that we've had so far, and we're suggesting a set of changes to the spec as a result of that. So let me stop there and see if there are any questions, or if, you know, Drummond, you want to chime in, or Kim or Christopher or anybody else that has had it, Ryan had a part in kind of the discussion surrounding these sets of changes.
Ryan's on the queue.
So, Manu, there was earlier there was a notion of OR control and control, and these were kind of manual reimplementation of some kind of multi-sig options. for the SSI context, because we were trying to support some notion of affirming a change using possibly identities on different chains, possibly some chain crossover there. Drummond, maybe you have a better wording of the goals there, but is that supported, Manu, in any way right now?
Yes, full support for AND and OR control. Specifically, I think you're talking about in the new spec, it's the authorization field. You can say basically this entity, you know, a proof submitted by this entity or this entity or this entity with this specific key, like that's supported. Or you can support things like multisig, where you say a proof submitted by three out of these five keys is supported. And we even support, you know, some of the more like kind of crazy future facing stuff like I support a proof that is made by a signature on the Bitcoin blockchain plus you have to submit a proof on the Ethereum blockchain, plus you have to submit a signed proof, plus you have to submit a proof of work. Like, we support that kind of, you know, extensibility as well. Clearly, I don't expect that to be, you know, used out of the gate, but yes, we have full support for that without having to resort to, like, Boolean logic primitives in the DID document. Did that answer your question?
Could you point me at what do I need to read to kind of get the concept for how to do that right now?
Appendix B has an example of that. So the authorization field in there says this entity is able to update my entire DID document, or this entity using an RSA signature is able to do it. Or you can use a multi-sig proof, and if you use a multi-sig proof, this entity and this entity and this entity have to provide the multi-sig. So Appendix B has that example in there. Example 8.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, oops, sorry, I was muted. Joe is next on the queue, but first, Joe, I noticed that I skipped over you in the action items, so we will get to you. We'll get to you at that point at the end. I'm sure you're on the queue to talk about the DID spec right now, so we'll come to that in the last 5 minutes of the meeting, if that works for you.
Yeah, I had a short update just to queue up for rebooting Web of Trust. So on the DIDs, my question was essentially exactly what Ryan just asked. I think I'm good. If we could get that logic explained in the spec text, that would be a nice addition, Manu. Because I'm looking at the example and it's, you know, trying to parse it is a little challenging.
Yeah. So fair warning to anyone trying to read the spec text. I've made an absolute hash of Drummond's text in there. So Drummond did a great job explaining stuff, and in an attempt to update it to these concepts, the text does not read well right now. So yeah, absolutely, Joe. We'll update the spec text if we have consensus and buy-in from the group that this is an approach that works for everyone.
Drummond?
I was able to have dinner with Manu in D.C. last week and understand, you know, a lot of the underlying motivations for this shift in how to structure the I want to say DDO, but then it's already called DID description in Manu's version, and you and I had a discussion this morning about just calling a DID document. I'd love to close on that simple thing just here today, but I don't want to disrupt from the main flow here, which is just understanding that I've been through but it was pretty late last night, the proposal, and again with Manu's explanation over dinner last week, I understand a lot of the motivations, and I do think there's goodness there. There are also things that are not addressed yet. The categorization of keys into just authentication authorization works for updating the DBO, but it doesn't work for describing other keys that are needed for purposes that are not interacting with a ledger. And with the work we're doing at DKMS, we clearly need keys and descriptions that are used for other purposes. I don't see that as something. I mean, I'm a big believer in key descriptions needing the semantics that they need for whatever purposes the the identity owner slash authority, another term we got to deal with, needs them for. My overall suggestion is we should tackle this as sort of architecture first. Is this the right approach? Capabilities, I'm not a deep capabilities guy. I understand the examples, the reasons for them. It does open up the potential for more granular updates to a DID document, but that also, just opens complexity or increases complexity. So we have to find that medium ground. If we can come to sort of architectural consensus, this is the right approach, then we can narrow it down to, okay, what is the specific, terminology we want to use in the JSON-LD context for DIDs. And then I would suggest we update the examples. I love the fact that Manu and Digital Bazaar, tends to write from examples. And once we have all that, then we can update the text that surrounds us in the spec. And I totally understand and actually defend Manu not worrying about getting all that text. We can absolutely take care of that. I've been working on the DID primer document that I promised Christopher 3 weeks ago, so I know I'm way behind. It is 90% of the way there, and I'm happy to. It's a Google Doc the way I've been drafting it, so I'm going to put the link in the spec, so anyone who wants to look at that or contribute to it, I want to finish it and then let Shannon convert that into a markup for the rebooting website today. So anyway, that's my key feedback on what I think is a very important set of decisions for the that we're teeing up for for this group and then for the folks that are able to come rebooting one of the trust to hash through.
Thank you, Drummond. Christopher Allen is next on the queue.
Yes, so I too appreciate Manu spending some of his valuable weekend time getting this together. Is there a spot in there that specifically talks about issuer proofs? Were you focusing only on those parts that allow you to authenticate and authorize the DID changes?
Real quick, yes, that's in there. We have a issue credential capability where a DID document can say this entity is capable of issuing a credential for this DID or self-issuing basically a credential for the DID. So yes, it's in there. It's in Appendix B. We can talk about it in more depth later.
Okay. So the only other comment I wanted to sort of add to things, so I think the general architecture of moving in this direction is definitely the right thing to do, as we observed from the Bitcoin hackathon. We were running into some problems when we were trying to do it the old way. I look forward to that. We will have Mark Miller at rebooting. He's kind of one of the most well-known creators of sort of the capability style of doing security. So I would encourage us, not necessarily to lock down the exact words and exact things until we've had a chance for him and maybe some other CAP people to say, gosh, if you just had X, it would make so much, make your life so much easier. We'll learn more, but I definitely am appreciating the direction and wanting to start figuring out how to convert our BTCR test
DDOs to this format. So thank you.
Adrian, you're next on the queue.
Okay. I don't know. I have one particular concern, which I'm not sure how it's represented in the DID spec, which has to do with recovery of credentials that are going to be non-repudiable. So, for instance, if there is a social recovery mechanism, an M of N type situation, how can we document the ability to still say that digital signature from that DID is non-repudiable? We want to tackle that, or is that completely off base?
I mean, I can answer a little bit about that, which is it's not precisely the DID spec and DDO that does that. I talked about this in one of the verifiable claims things. A verifiable claim that has a proof of existence in addition to its regular signature can be considered to be valid as of the point of its issuance, and provided that there's no revocation for fraud, and as long as the proof of existence is there and solid, can be valid, in the future, even if a key is rotated or revoked for non-fraud reasons, or even if the crypto system that it is signed with is no longer valid. If the proof of existence demonstrates that the signature system was valid at the time of signing and all the other properties, then yes, you can have a very long-lived credential. I think that's what you're really seeking. I don't know that we would have the same equivalence in the DID space, because the idea behind the DID space is if you've got a new key material or whatever, you can rotate and update to it. Claims are kind of special cases where you may not, have the ability to do so. Maybe the issuer is no longer in existence or other things. So that's a different case. I think that addresses your problem, Adrian. That's it.
Manu, you're next.
So plus one to what Christopher just said with respect to Adrian's concern. I put myself on the queue to respond to Drummond, who noted that, hey, we're not doing a key description semantics yet, and I don't see it in the spec. That's absolutely right. It's not there yet. We do have some thoughts about key annotation. We do think that Digital Bazaar does think that we do need that. We have some plans for it, and there are some weird unintended consequences that we're moving through. But that doesn't mean that there are problems with it. It's just we have to do some pretty deep thinking about key semantics. So it's just kind of a heads up to the group that, more than likely these keys are going to have semantics attached to it, what you can do and can't do with the keys. The conversation is probably not going to be a quick one. We're probably going to spend at least a month or two on it to make sure that we're clear about what the semantics are actually mean, both to the ledger and to kind of the bigger verifiable claims ecosystem. So I wasn't planning on putting anything in the spec, and I think it might be a bit of a distraction at this point, but plus one to Drummond, I think we need to do that at some point.
One question I have, guys, related just in general to the DID updates. I can't disclose exactly what's going on, but we may be making use of DIDs, production capacity at Microsoft sooner than later, and I'm curious as to what aspects you think will be, rather settled? I mean, obviously this is still community group and, you know, very much in a draft state, but what aspects are usable? What aspects are not going to change? Can we somehow flag stability of subsections at some point, just so, you know, we have some idea of that as an implementing organization going in?
I'm going to put myself on the queue to respond.
Okay, I'll move ahead to, let's see, to Christian.
Yes, hello, this is Christian. I have a question around the updated terminology. So we're using authentication and authorization. So I don't mind in general, but I wonder if it's a bit confusing in some scenarios. Like for instance, if I get a challenge from a website and I find it with one of the authentication keys, like that's very clear what's going on. But if I'm signing a verifiable claim that says that, you know, let's say this other DID has now the authority to, you know, enter my door because I'm renting out my apartment. So I would imagine that would still be done by the quote-unquote authentication key. But what I'm actually doing is I'm authorizing something. So I see what's happening, but I wonder if it might be confusing because these keys have very broad uses.
Manu, do you want to talk to that?
Sure. Yeah, that's a perfect example of what we don't want to do in the spec, meaning like there's this ambient authority around the key. So to directly answer your question, we should never be using, you know, certain types of authentication credentials to do login on the web and use the same credential to do something else that's like taking out a home loan or letting somebody into your house or things of that nature. So that is an example of why we're making these changes, why key annotation is important. So when we say authentication credential, at least in the spec today, we are expecting that you will have many ways to authenticate, and there are providers that will require different levels of authentication. Like in some cases, like you're logging into a website pseudonymously, maybe a digital signature for that is fine, right? It's quick, it's fine. But if you're, for example, taking out a home loan, then they will probably want to use a biometric-based authentication credential and potentially like a hardware-secured key to do that, and that might be in the authentication credential field. Or you might have a totally different entry in your DID document that says these keys are used for a totally different thing. So they're not used for authentication. They might be used for my Internet of Things devices and things of that nature. So you know, Christian, the general answer to your question is it's those types of confused deputy concerns that we had when we made these changes, and we have made these changes to ensure that you are not having like keys do double duty for things that they shouldn't be doing double duty for. Hopefully that at least at the surface addresses some of your concern.
At least it's
I was mainly thinking about double duty, but more of the like in the DID specification, there's like two buckets of keys, right? So the question is like, should we have a more general bucket? Like, and then
to clarify, there's only one. This is a great conversation. This is exactly what I was hoping would happen. So there's a a bucket of keys that just has to do with authenticating, right? These are the ways that this DID, these are the ways that an entity can authenticate as this DID. And that could be a, you know, fairly large list. And then there's another bucket that's, it's really about authorization. It's not about authentication. So the authorization bucket is, these are the entities that are allowed to do things on behalf of me, but they are totally separate entities, and the ways that they authenticate can be outlined there, right? So you can say, so, you know, let's say you and I have two DIDs. I can, in my authorization field, say Christian is allowed to let's say update my DDO, but only this field in my DID description is Christopher allowed to, allowed or Christian allowed to update, and he can only do it using this key that I have verified with him in person, right? So the authorization bucket, while it does have key information in there, it's more of like a filtering. The keys there are more of a filtering mechanism, right? It's really about authorization. So there's really only one bucket for authentication credentials in the DID description. And then in the authorization bucket, it basically talks about entities that are authorized to do certain things to the DID document. Did that help clarify at least a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, it clarifies that the authorization now is for updating the DID document, which is fine. I mean, that's reasonable. But then it feels like the authentication bucket is for everything else, right? Including, like, I'm gonna, you know, I'm a this verifiable claims stating that you have a Harvard degree, and the question is, should that be under authentication, or should there be some other buckets, or not? That was kind of my main question.
Yeah, we should probably, and I don't think that there's a clean answer to that today. I think what we're trying to do with the general design of the spec is to make those buckets really do one thing and only one thing. So there may be a need for a totally different bucket that's used for different types of things, right? So we have a use case in here where we're saying, like, this DID is allowed to issue credentials or verifiable claims. We have a bucket in there that says this is how you can authenticate as the DID. We have a bucket in there that says if you want to modify this DID document, you know, these are the entities that are allowed to do it. But when it comes to things like, you know, allow these keys to have access to the person's house, that might not be something that you put in the DID document. It might be with a different, like, service provider, like the if this then that people or the Nest people, and that might be a service provider thing. So I think it's an open conversation. I think the main thrust of the argument we're making here is that we need to be very specific about what these fields can do, so we don't end up in ambient and authority security. You know, so we don't create ambient authority security vulnerabilities. Right, that's the primary thing. It's like, you know, you were saying, well, you can use this authentication credential to log into a website and give somebody access to drive your car. Like, that may be an ambient authority danger there. And we need to talk about that use case in much more depth to figure out whether it should actually be in an authentication credential and whether doing that is safe, or it should be put in another bucket.
That's interesting. My view is more that I want to make sure that the system is flexible enough in terms of, like, people can sign verifiable claims in order to allow for a lot of, you know, a lot of permissionless innovation.
Absolutely.
I'm going to jump in. I think there are a lot of...
Yeah, anyway.
sessions here that we should actually track this with a separate GitHub issue, as Dave pointed out. If it's okay, I think there's a lot of nuances to cover, and also we want to have this discussion sort of tracked as a GitHub issue as well. So is it okay if I move on to the next to make it through the queue?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Okay. So actually I'm next. I have a very quick one. So the first note is that I've been reviewing this in light of the BTCR method spec, and I like this approach a lot. It cleared up a lot of ambiguities. I think the only, well, there's obviously the pros that we talked about that we'll fill in later. I think for me, the main part of the DID spec that's unclear right now is around the service endpoints. How I'm reading it in its current state is that it's completely up to the method spec to define those service endpoints. Am I reading that correctly?
Not quite.
No.
So I believe there have to be shared semantics, which means that somewhere, if you have a service, like let's take verifiable claims, and if people are going to have credential repositories, there's going to have to be a credential repository service probably in the DID document. And so as a group, we will, you know, work with the verifiable claims group to say, hey, there is a credential repository service field that you can put in a DDO in a DID document that is common across all DID documents, that tells a program when you go and you read a DDO, sorry, DID document, you go and you read it, look for the credential repository service in there, and if they have one, that's where you go to do all the credential repository related API stuff. So it's more open-ended. So the proposal here is, like, you don't have one bucket for all your services. If you want to access a service and you know what service you want, you check for that service on the object, and if it has it in the DID document, if it has it at the top level, that's a service and you use it. If it doesn't, the service isn't specified. Did that help, Kim?
Okay. It does, and in fact, I'm going to continue reading it, and if I have continued concerns, I'll just open an issue to track it. And we have Drummond next on the queue.
Yeah, it's one problem with the queue is it goes on for so long you forget what it was you went on the queue about. okay, so unstacking a little bit here. Super important point that I think actually is addressed in the existing spec as well, and didn't change in anything that that Digital Bazaar is proposing, is that the service description is a service description independent of any DID method. In fact, you should not put a service description into a DID method spec. You should put it into a service description spec. So you can use that service from any DID that needs that service. I think that's a really important point. Backing up one step, what I like about the authentication authorization, capabilities is how they can be specific to and could be used by different DID methods to define, here's how our DID method supports updates to a DID document, in the context of that method, in the context of that ledger. When I turn around and look at DIDs from the standpoint of DKMS spec, and I look at the dozens of key types that are going to need to be supported to map to the types of things that are NIST 800-130, I'm going, okay, I'm a huge fan of key descriptions, and let them be as semantically rich as they need to be. Let's define the semantics of what we need in key descriptions that are needed by DID method specs to authenticate and authorize actions, operations on DID documents, on DID ledgers, but not try and turn around and come up with a universal vocabulary for authentication and authorization that that we're defining in the capabilities of DID. We'd be recreating, SAML and OpenID and everything else. I think that's the wrong direction. We need to provide a consistent way to describe keys that are associated with the DID for many, many, many different purposes, including at least 50% of which the folks on this call cannot anticipate on this day. So
yeah, one thing to add to that is I think that a lot of these actionable types of uses should be defined elsewhere. I mean, the separation of concerns that we had were that you want your leveling of key power to essentially be there and represented in the most generic way possible, and the claims themselves would exist in some other personal data store. I mean, we like to call them identity hubs in you know, our lingua franca, but that's where you might have an object for schema.org that's a permit object that is accepted in whatever vertical accepts permit objects as their authoritative proof for driver's licenses, for instance, or something. And that being signed by the issuer is then, you know, noticed as a driver's license. Like, it's more about kind of stepping off of the DID, DDO, and going into that other system and using keys to basically sign things that are specific. So I would hope that we don't leak, like, specificity of downstream, you know, atomic use cases for the keys into the DDO. Is that kind of like what you're saying, Drummond?
Yes, it is, exactly. And I know it's just tough to pack all this into one conversation. And I totally forgot the other thing I was going to do, which was to say, the quick poll of the group: do folks agree to start using the term DID document to just in place of what we've been calling DDO, so we can get away from the acronym? I'm sticking that in there, but I'll write that into the IRC and folks can respond there.
It's still an acronym. DIDD, maybe.
Well, true. Yeah, but it shortens to DID doc if you want to say it very succinctly.
I'm
switch to German where everything's one word and then you don't have acronyms.
There you go.
Yeah, so I think we actually started into the discussion that Manu prompted me to put myself on the queue for, and that is every ledger that we try to implement this specification on, people who've tried to adopt decentralized identity identifiers, all have different transaction semantics and different trust framework assumptions about how their ledger operates. And when you start to introduce the idea of authorization as a construct that has policy involved, it's really easy for those transaction semantics to bleed into the DDO or the DID document itself. And when that starts to happen, interoperability between these identifiers becomes really difficult. Everyone needs to have a different understanding of how those transaction semantics will occur on their ledger, and so they may have to choose to reject identifiers simply because of the way the authorization transaction or the authorization semantics are specified. And so one of the hopes with the DID specification was that we were taking a very simplistic view of how key possession worked on purpose, and I understand that we need to go beyond that because there's other ways of authorizing modifications besides key possession, and we do need to model those, but we need to be very careful that doesn't bleed into either the transaction semantics of the ledgers in question or bleed into the authorization semantics of the entity profiles that are trying to be expressed. In this way, I think that expressing the entity profiles through the service endpoint actually will open up a decoupling of those two constructs, and we need to figure out what the decoupling is between key possession semantics and proof of ownership of an identity and the semantics of the transaction family of the ledger or oracle of truth for the DIDs are. And if we can't come to a clear understanding on how we firewall those concerns from one another, then we're going to end up with a generic policy specification. And all of the data semantics of the data we're trying to express will eventually bleed into the ledger semantics that we're trying to build on. And, you know, that's fine, but not everybody wants to implement Ethereum. So we want to make sure that those constructs can stay separate constructs so that the interoperability we're after is actually achieved.
Thanks, Nathan. And actually, so we have a few people on the queue. Just a quick warning, I'm going to cut everyone off in a couple of minutes to let Joe talk to his point about the lifecycle of verifiable claims. We are going to continue this discussion next week in addition to some other things, so please join us. We'll just continue working through the issues. Christopher, you're next.
Yeah, I had three main points. Point number one was in regards to extending the information. I think there's this line that you cross where you basically go, oh, this kind of very specific authorization information needs to be, you know, further away at a endpoint, at a static in a static file that is, you know, an extension or whatever, and there it may be able to prove that it is authorized to extend in this direction, but is not in the sort of the core of the DID document. I guess I'm encouraging this sort of the ability to basically say, hey, here's some authentication information that is not actually in the root DID document, that it's in a supplemental document that might be very specific for a very specific purpose. That's part one. Part two, I really want to make sure that the services type of thing can also be static documents and not always explicitly a REST service or some other API. In at least the BTCR case, everything is a static document, and then those static documents are signed by one of the root keys in the main DDO. And my final thing is, I also wanted to make sure that, people are clear that, one of the big motivations around this is that, not everything's going to be a simple signature. That as the security standards are emerging and whatever in sort of this new generation of stuff, there's a lot of things that, do not have traditional keying material. You can kind of consider a Bitcoin block to be a signature. You can consider certain hash things to be a kind of signature. And there's a lot of newer composite things. I can basically represent a complex set of ands and ors in a specialized form of Merkle tree in basically 64 bytes. That has maybe 1,000 signatures with ands and ors implied in it directly. But the actual value that is represented is 64 bytes. That's what the mask construction is in Bitcoin. So, we want to make sure that we can support those kinds of futures. Other people have mentioned some of the biometric things. I mean, I'd never want, a biometric key to have, unique and sole authority over updating a DDO, but having it be one of a number of authentication things, along with others, I think is perfectly acceptable. I'll close with that.
Okay. So actually, Joe, why don't you go ahead, and then we'll continue going through the queue.
You might be muted, Joe.
Thanks, Manu. I was running real fast. No concrete progress on the document, but I will have something to review at Rebooting Web of Trust. So, Chris, if we could get some time, I don't know if that's how we'll fit that in, but that's my deadline for having a first draft of all 15 steps in that engagement model.
Okay. And I put in a link to the PDFs that I had of last. So let me know if there's anything people should be reviewing or whatever. Just let us know.
Go ahead. I was just saying that presentation is about the process and the structure, but not the actual content. So.
Got it. Okay, Drummond, you're next.
I am? Wow. I've been busy trying to get double time out of these calls by, you know, responding. I think I put my key points in my comments in the chat. And so I'm hoping we're at the end of the call and I've got a hard stop in 1 minute to encourage folks to start, putting your comments and specific suggestions. I mean, Digital Bazaar has helped move things forward here by making a significant proposal, about a new architecture for the ID docs. And now, you know, now that we've opened that up, let's start driving it forward. Put your, get your comments in the GitHub issues. And then start thinking about how you want to organize discussions for those that are coming to Rebooting Web of Trust, so we can just, you know, be as efficient as we can there. I wish we could take all of, and we may have to take all of those 3 days, those of us who are working on DIDs, but I'm hoping there's going to be time for other subjects like DKMS and just all the richness of the other subjects that we want to cover there. So anyway, that's my suggestion, is just how we can make the most progress in the next week.
And we're at time, but Ryan, if you want to go ahead.
So I had a very short question about whether there was an intention to move away from the verbiage of write authorization, because in Appendix B that verbiage is not used.
That's it. Yeah, to just plain authorization. And then each entry tells you specifically what type of authorization you're talking about. And it's very focused. So yeah, no more write authorization. Full stop.
Okay, thanks everyone. Well, we're gonna stop here. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay, so we're going to stop here. We'll continue the discussion next week. Please join us.
Thanks all. Bye.
Thanks.
Thanks, everyone.